this week on Hope for the Broken.
Why can disciples take heart even in darkness? Because it's going to be tough, Jesus is saying. But I have overcome the world, and your endurance in and through it is worth it all. And you do that by keeping your mind focused. Focusing forward, not looking backward, walking carefully, and keeping our hearts by way of worship. And by doing those things, you and I will be able to develop an unshakable walk with Christ.
Welcome to Hope for the Broken, the audio podcast ministry of Trinity Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas. I'm your host, Austin Mahoney. We exist to become a gospel-centered community, redeeming brokenness through hope in Jesus Christ. At Trinity, we believe we are all broken and in need of the redeeming hope found in Jesus. For more information about our church, visit us on our website at trinitytx.org. This week, we continue our series called Unshakable. Here's our pastor, Chris Wigley, with part two, titled Unshakable Walk.
Good morning again. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter in the New Testament. We are going to continue a teaching series we launched last week at Easter entitled Unshakable. We're taking a look through the book, studying the book of 1 Peter, examining how we can have an unshakable faith even in the midst of a very chaotic world. Last week, we discovered how to have an unshakable hope. And that our hope is rooted in the most certain event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be taking a look at an unshakable walk. Unshakable walk. And so we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21. How many of you, just by show of hands, you've ever had to get up in the middle of the night when it was pitch dark? Anybody ever have to do that? Okay. Maybe it's a noise that you heard. Like last night, I was sleeping really good and Kathy came in and the door slammed, like not on purpose. It slammed and I woke up like in a panic, like, you know, what just happened? You know, you're in the middle of the night, you're confused. Maybe the kids down the hall are screaming and they're crying. And so that wakes you up, or maybe you have to go to the restroom, but it is hard navigating in the dark. You know, it never fails, though, whenever I have to get up in the middle of the night, that my right toe always finds the corner of our bed, right? Anybody else relate to that, right? Maybe you don't do that, but you trip maybe over clothes that you had in the floor or shoes that somebody left out. I'm not bitter. I'm just saying, right? Maybe others of you do this. Those of you that have young kids, your foot somehow finds the Lego piece, right, that has been missing for 2 months, right? And the middle of the night and the pain that just shoots, right? My mom has a saying that when things frustrate you so bad or something went haywire, she says, now that'll make a preacher want to cuss. I mean, when you stub your toe in the middle of the night, I'm just saying, right? That is true. It's a challenge to walk and to navigate in darkness. Well, when it comes to our Christian walk, that's what the Bible often refers to our journey with Christ. It refers to it as like a race or a walk with Christ. When it comes to our walk, we often have to navigate the dark. The same is true for the people who were the original audience of Peter's writing. They were scattered because of a dark time. They were all over the known world at the time because they were being persecuted for their faith. They were being discriminated against. They were insulted and mistreated. The people that Peter were writing to were people who were trying to navigate their Christian journey in the darkness of days. When it comes to the darkness of our world, we often find ourselves needing to navigate the dark. And maybe it's a challenge that you're facing currently. You would describe it as a time of darkness. Maybe it's a season in your life where you just seem to be filled with disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. These are seasons of darkness. The question becomes, how do we navigate those times in our lives? How can we as Christians walk in the darkness with a walk that is unshakable, certain, founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ? So I believe this morning we're going to see, as we examine this letter, 5 ways to walk in the dark. Peter's going to challenge us to focus our minds, to focus our eyes, to focus forward, focus our steps, And fifthly, to focus our hearts. That's where we're headed this morning. That's our outline. And so I want to read 1 Peter beginning in chapter 1, verse 13, and we'll work our way through verse 21 here today. I encourage you to follow along in your copy of God's Word. Let's begin. Verse 13, Peter says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Peter is saying the first step to navigating the dark times of our lives is to focus our minds. Focus your mind. He says, opens up verse 13, he says, prepare your minds for action. The word prepare in the original language means to gird up or to brace oneself. Okay, so the picture was rooted in how men dressed 2,000 years ago. It was in style, I guess, back then to wear long flowing robes. You're not going to catch me in one of those, but they would wear long flowing robes. And while it may have been very stylish in those days, it often made it difficult to run or to engage in strenuous activity. And so what the men would do in those days when they had to do that kind of thing is they would gird up their loins. They would lift up their tunics, their robes, and tuck it back in their belt, providing room and flexibility to be able to take on a strenuous task or activity. This is what Peter's saying. Prepare in your minds. If we're going to use a modern day phrase to describe the same idea, it would be this: roll up your sleeves. Let's get ready to get after it. Right? Let's be mentally prepared. Get ready. Roll up the sleeves of your mind. Focus your mind. Now, I think this is a very important first step whenever it comes to walking in dark times. Because what often happens in our lives is that we somehow seem to be surprised when darkness visits us. We're caught off guard. But the reality is that we live in a very broken world. I think we all sense the realities of that truth. We live in a broken world. And we all encounter darkness. But when we're unprepared, then our minds begin to fill us with all kinds of things. We begin to get anxious about what to do and how to approach a situation. We begin to wonder, what steps do I need to take? What Peter is saying is this, is listen, expect the darkness, be prepared, get ready in your mind. When we encounter darkness, if we haven't rolled up the sleeves of our mind, we'll be caught off guard and we'll be tossed to and fro. How is it that we are often unprepared in our minds? Well, we tend to be lazy in our approach to Scripture. We tend to have anemic prayer lives, and we often flirt with temptation. I'm preaching to myself. Y'all just happen to be in the room there on that. I don't know if you can relate. But Peter is saying, listen, we need to prepare. We need to focus our minds to be able to navigate dark times. And he doesn't just tell us to be prepared. He gives us two ways by which we can be prepared for these dark times. He says first, to be prepared for action. In other words, we're to be decisive. We're not to be passive. We're to be decisive. And Peter here is alluding to the fact that we need to decide beforehand. We need to make a decision in our minds before we encounter the darkness as to how we're going to navigate the darkness. We are going to walk in the ways of Christ, and I am firm in that, right? That's what it means to take action. The second way to prepare our minds, he says, is to be sober-minded. The idea here is to think clearly, to be free from any clouded thinking, to be self-controlled in your thinking, which is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's to think Christianly, to think from a godly perspective. So pair that with being called to action. And Peter is saying we're to focus our minds by being clear and morally minded. With absolute 100% certainty, we are going to walk in Christ, even when the darkness comes upon us. Why would Peter say the first step to walking in the dark deals with preparing your mind? Well, the Christian battle is won or lost in our mind. Proverbs 23:7 tells us this: as we calculate in our soul, in other words, as we think in our minds, so are we. How we think is how we behave. As a result, it's vital that we prepare our minds to walk Christianly, to walk with Christ. It's why Paul, the Apostle Paul says in Romans, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The Christian battle is won or lost in the mind. And so we focus on God's word, taking the initiative, Peter says, to live a life of holiness. Now, that means that there are things we ought to avoid. Websites we should keep away from. Situations that we should steer clear of. And by doing those things, what we're doing is we're deciding beforehand, taking a morally decisive path to walk straight, even though we're surrounded by the darkness. Peter says, listen, you got to focus your minds. That's how you walk in the dark. Secondly, Peter says, to focus your eyes. We not only focus our minds, but we must focus our eyes, our sights. In the second part of verse 13, Peter says to set your hope. In other words, to direct your gaze fully, or other words, completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, the older I get, when I do wake up in the middle of the night, it gets increasingly challenging. Like my eyes are failing me. Right? I have to get up and I usually have to squint or rub my eyes, you know, and things are blurry and moving sometimes, you know, what I'm talking about. And so I have to focus my eyes. I have to give attention to my eyes. And usually what I do is I when I'm up in the middle of the night, I'm looking for any glimmer of light that there might be, right? So that I can get my bearings as to where I'm headed, the direction that I'm supposed to be heading in. Well, Peter is telling us that when we walk through dark times, we need to focus our eyes in the right direction. We need to focus our eyes on the glimmer of light, the glimmer of hope, he says. And where are we to set our hope? We set our hope on the promises of God. What is the promise of God? Peter says it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you what that does mean. Peter's not saying that it is how Jesus has already appeared among you. What Peter's saying is he's saying, no. The glimmer of hope is in the fact that Jesus is coming again. Right? And so he's saying, listen, I want you to look to the future. I want you to look to where your hope lies. And it is the glimmer of light on the certainty that just as though Jesus raised from the dead, he conquered sin, death, and the grave, he will return again according to his word. And that promise filled these people with hope. Why? Because they realize that this world is just temporary. Paul says, in this world, we will experience light and momentary trouble, but they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. This is what Peter's saying. He's saying you need to set your eyes in the right direction because no matter what darkness we face, we know that in the end, we will see Christ, be like Christ, and live with Christ for all of eternity. That's what heaven is. It's the very presence of God. There is no darkness in heaven. In fact, the book of Revelation says that there is no need for even a sun. Why? Because the radiance of the glory of God is the only light that is needed in heaven. There's no pain. There's no sadness. And no matter how dark this world gets, hear me, we are to set our eyes on a greater hope. A hope that allows us to live above the circumstances surrounding our lives. And I like what Peter says here. He says, not only are we to set our hope there, but we're to do so fully. In other words, completely, without wavering. But here's the truth. You and I, in our humanity, we're often tempted to set our hopes on other things too. Do you ever feel that? Yeah, our hope is in Christ. Yes, I'm saved. I've got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I've been born again unto a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm headed to heaven, but I sure do hope for good health. I hope for good kids. I hope for a great marriage. I hope for a lucrative career. And it's not that those things are bad, you see. None of those things are bad, but those are terrible places to set our hope on. Why? Well, one day, our health will fade. It'll take a turn for the worse. Many of our kids will venture off the path. Your marriage will fall on rocky times. And guess what? The bills always seem to pile up. And if our hope is in those things to make us happy, then we will be shaken to the core. That's why Peter's saying, listen, our hope has to be otherworldly. If our hope lies beyond those things and is rooted in that which is absolutely certain in the person and work of Jesus Christ, then we can't be shaken when we experience life's ups and life's downs. It is the very constant in our life that remains rock solid, secure. And so Peter is saying that in order to walk in the dark, we need to focus our minds and we need to focus our eyes. Thirdly, he says, focus forward. Focus forward. Looking back never helps you navigate the dark. And that's what he says in verse 14. Look at it with me. He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. I love that word, former. He's saying, don't be distracted by your BC days, right? BC, before Christ. Do you remember where you were before Jesus changed your life? Some of you are like me. You're like, I got saved when I was 9. It's not like I was a crazy bad person when I was 9 and Jesus saved my soul. Others of you here in the room, you're like, oh yeah, I remember. I remember what I was doing. I remember where I was and the lifestyle that I lived. And man, it was crazy in those days. But here's the truth of the matter. Listen, whether you were saved at a young age and you remained faithful to him most of the time, or you were saved later in life, radically transformed, saved, rescued from a life of destruction, either way, you have felt what it was like for Jesus to pick you up off the road that you were headed on and place you on his road. You've experienced life transformation. And what Peter is saying, he's saying, don't look back. Don't focus on your old ways. Don't turn to your old habits. Don't turn to your old sins and your old passions. Instead, focus forward on the walk. You understand. You know what it feels like to be pulled towards those old days. And Peter said, no, have a laser beam focus forward. Have a laser beam focus forward. I think what Peter's driving at is that character is vital in navigating dark times. You know, we all have a tendency to do that which is immoral, and we feel like we have to in order to get ahead. Or we feel like we gotta compromise in certain areas of our lives. We tend to abandon our convictions whenever we feel like it'll help us work towards some sort of advantage. Peter's saying, no, all that does is lead to further destruction. You need to maintain your godly steps. Focus forward. An unshakable walk requires that we focus our minds, focus our eyes, focus forward. Fourthly, he says, to focus your steps. Focus your steps. Look with me, verses 15 through 17. Peter says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in how much? All your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, then conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Peter's saying we need to focus on our steps. It means we get to give attention to our conduct. You remember that song, if you grew up in church, you would sing this song where the verse says, be careful, little feet, where you go. This is what Peter's saying. Be careful where you step. Be careful what path you venture down. Be concerned about your conduct. And he says here that we are to be holy as who? Our Father in heaven is holy. Whoa. We need to examine what that word holy means. Because I don't know about you, but I'm far from the holiness of God. I bet you feel that too. There's no way we can measure up to the holiness of God. So what does he mean by saying be holy? The word holy translated in the original language means otherness. It means to be different, set apart. And there is only one who is fully holy. It's impossible for us to be holy to the extent that God the Father is holy. But what Peter is driving at is this: are we pursuing holiness in our lives? Or are we comfortable with the sin in our lives? That's two totally different mindsets, right? Yes, we're going to stumble. Yes, we're going to fall. Yes, we're imperfect people, but are we okay with that? Are we satisfied with that? Are we rationalize that? Do we justify that? Or do we call sin, sin? And we say, no, I need to get back on the right path in our lives. That's the pursuit of holiness. God's character, if we are Christians, God's character in our lives should increasingly replace the sinful character of our former lives. The Bible uses a word for this called sanctification. It's a million-dollar word that means the process of becoming like Jesus. Sanctification begins when we come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches at that moment we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, and it is the Holy Spirit's job to direct us in the paths of truth. And we embark on a journey where we are, for the remainder of our lives, being spiritually transformed. And this transformation results in our sin being displaced with God's character. And here's the key in this. Listen, your willpower can't hack it. My willpower isn't enough. No, we must depend upon the Holy Spirit to do this work of transformation. But our job is to be willing participants in that process. Are we willing participants? When the Holy Spirit pricks our hearts, do we listen and do we obey? That is important. And Peter says that we should do so because that will help us in all of our conduct. And he says, and if you needed an added reason to be concerned about your conduct, he says to conduct yourselves with fear. What does that mean? It's not a fear that means to be terrified. It's a different kind of fear. It's a healthy fear. It means to be reverent. It means to consider God. It means to be in awe of God in the way in which we live in the presence of God. And he says this, he says, listen, that Father will judge you impartially. Now, hear me out. We will be judged one day, but we're not being judged on our salvation. You see, if we are in Christ, it's signed, sealed, delivered. God isn't judging whether or not we are saved. If you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have the evidence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, then you are saved. That is settled. But we will be judged on the conduct of our lives. Did you know that? And so Peter's saying, listen, live in fear of that. Not a terrified, paralyzed fear, but live in fear and awe, reverence of who God is, and that our lives are being played out even behind closed doors before a holy, righteous God. As a believer, we are to emulate God's, quote, otherness. We are to be set apart from the ways of darkness, the ways of our world. We are to reflect the person in whose name we bear. If you call yourself a Christian, you know where that word originally was discovered? It was in the first century world, and it was used in a derogatory sense. People would say, you know, you act different. What are you, a Christian or something? And it was a derogatory term. But what it means in literal translation is little Christ. Are you a little Christ? Do you bear the name of Christ? If we are surrendered to him, if we call ourselves Christian, then we bear the name of Christ. There was a story about the days of Alexander the Great. And one of his soldiers was caught deserting the army and during a battle. And that soldier was brought before Alexander the Emperor. And he heard the charges brought against that very soldier. And so Alexander the Great turns to that soldier and he says, "Young man, what is your name?" And that soldier looked up at him and he said, "My name is Alexander." Well, the emperor, Alexander the Great, was taken back and actually became angry. "That's my name," he said. And he turns to him and he says, "Soldier, you either change your behavior or you change your name. Because if you're going to bear the name Alexander, you're going to be brave." Well, listen, we bear the name of Christ. Holiness is a reflection as to whose name we bear. In other words, the pursuit of holiness, it's a family thing. It's a family of God. It's a trait of those who belong to the family of God. So in order to have an unshakable walk, we are to focus our minds, our eyes, focus forward, focus the steps we take. Fifthly, finally, we are to focus our hearts. Peter says, focus your heart. And what I mean by that is focus your worship, direct your worship. Even in the midst of the darkness that we often face, did you know God is still worthy of our worship? And Peter reminds us of this as he reminded the believers in the first century, verses 18 through 21. And remember, he's talking to people that because they believe in God, they're being mistreated. Because they believe in God, they're being passed up for promotions. Because they believe in God, they're being discriminated against. And look at what he says, verse 18. He says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, you were ransomed. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God." What's Peter saying here? He's saying, listen, I know the times are tough. I know you're scattered everywhere. I know the darkness is pressing in. I know you're being persecuted, but God is still good. How is God still good? Because he's rescued you. Your hope no longer lies in the temporary of this world. Your hope lies in that which is eternal. You have eternal life because God has done an incredible work in your life. He's paid the ransom of our souls. Maybe you can relate. You feel darkness pressing in all around you. But I want you to know something. No matter what you face, God is still good because he's worked salvation for us. He's purchased for us, paid for our ransom by way of shedding his precious blood, Peter says. And what's more, he didn't just die on the cross. He was buried in a tomb and he rose from the dead, proving that he conquered sin, death, and the grave. And those powerful truths are the basis for hope, even in the midst of the darkness we face. Oh, God is still good. You know, the gospel story, the good news of Jesus Christ is proof positive that God works in the midst of darkness. You think about it. Our world broken, destroyed by sin. The same effects that you and I feel to this very day. We serve a God who doesn't just let us wallow in our muck in the mire. No, he stepped down out of heaven in the person and work of Jesus Christ into our broken world, into the muck and the mire, into the destruction that our hands wrought to ultimately pay the penalty for our sin, which is death. He died on the cross in your place and in mine and was raised from the dead, proving that he conquered all of that junk. So that when you and I still face it today, we say glory to God that this isn't the best it gets. The best is yet to come. And that fills us with all kinds of hope. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. And look again, verse 20. It says, he, being Jesus, was foreknown before the foundation of the world was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. That means this. That means Jesus has always been. And that's important for us to understand, because Jesus isn't a God. Jesus isn't like God. Jesus didn't become a God. He is God from before the foundation of the world. And it was always God's plan for Jesus to purchase our redemption. He was foreknown. Before the world even had its beginning, before the world even had its foundation, Jesus knew he was going to the cross to purchase our ransom. You know, one of the most often repeated phrases by Jesus in the Gospels is the phrase, "Take heart." He says, "Take heart," over and over and over and over again. "Take heart, it is I. Take heart, I have overcome. Take heart, I am calling you. Take heart, take heart, take heart." Why can disciples take heart even in darkness? Because it's going to be tough, Jesus is saying. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But I have overcome the world, and your endurance in and through it is worth it all. Take heart. Stay the course. There is hope. And you do that by keeping your mind focused, setting your eyes on the hope in Christ, focusing forward, not looking backward, walking carefully, and keeping our hearts by way of worship. And by doing those things, you and I will be able to develop an unshakable walk with Christ.
You're listening to Trinity Baptist Church's Hope for the Broken podcast. If you would like to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at trinitytx.org. That's trinitytx.org. Here's Pastor Chris to wrap up our time together.
Thanks for listening today. I'm so glad that you found this podcast. It is our prayer that you are encouraged and challenged by today's message. It is our goal at Trinity to lead everyone into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have questions about what it means to trust Jesus as the Lord of your life, we would love to connect with you. Please feel free to give us a call at 903-572-1959. Or email us at info@trinitytx.org. If you are ever in the East Texas area, we invite you to join us for worship on Sundays at 9:30 or 11 a.m. Thanks so much for listening today. God bless you.
We pray that you have experienced hope today. If you would like to support the ministries of Trinity Baptist Church with a financial gift, you can do so by giving online. Simply log on to trinitytx.org and click the Give tab. Be sure to join us next week as we look into God's Word on Hope for the Broken.